We're privileged as we worship the Lord to read from two passages of the Bible, Old and New Testament. The first passage is Psalm 20, and the second passage is 1 Peter 5, the first 11 verses. Psalm 20, and then 1 Peter 5, 1 to 11. Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 20. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. What a beautiful prayer in Scripture that we may pray. Now, 1 Peter 5, we read beginning at verse 1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We want to think especially of the verse 6 and 7 in 1 Peter 5 here. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Continue with studying about prayer, looking this time at question and answer 118 from Lord's Day 45 in the back of the Psalter, but it's also in your bulletin. Just one little question, and we're only going to deal with the first part of the answer, actually, this time, and next time the second part. But what has God commanded us to ask of him? Answer all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised. In that prayer, he himself has taught us. May God bless us as we think about casting all our care upon the Lord in prayer to him. Your congregation belonging to Christ, when I thought about having various sermons on the subject of prayer, I don't know if I realized how relevant this little series actually is. I don't remember ever before having had a sermon in relation to each one of the questions and answers in Lord's Day 45. But today's sermon, as taught on the basis of question and answer 118 just, is surely fitting and very good for us to consider, seeing the circumstances of our time, locally and around the world. I ask you, isn't this tremendous, really, what you and I get to think about from God's word, namely, what has God commanded us to ask of Him? With the scripture-grounded answer being all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself taught us. Well, the first part, yes, will be our focus now of that answer. And a few weeks back, when I planned to have a separate sermon just on this matter, I did say to myself, do I realize what a privilege and blessing this is? What question one answer 118 teaches us. Beloved, this is gracious, grand, glorious good news. You and I, in all the challenges and needs of life, are not only invited and urged, but even commanded by God to come to the Lord God, to ask of Him daily for all things necessary for soul and body. What do we all need for the health of our soul? Oh, so very, very much, initially and constantly. But we may ask it all of God Triune, once and time and again, without ceasing, till our last breath here on earth. The Lord will never get tired of us doing so. Plus, all things necessary for our body, yours and mine, we may and are urged and even commanded to ask that too of God every day afresh. Who can begin to tell just of our needs of body in this life, yours and mine? I mean, our bodies are so complex. Everything has to work right. And one thing goes wrong, and everything goes wrong. But here now, we may ask the Lord in regards to every need for soul and body, and the Lord, He's out to supply us in all our needs, in His grace and mercy, and in His boundless resources for us out of His infinite fullness. Indeed, as Paul says in Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, there are many texts that we could look to in support of the Catechism's Bible-based instruction in question and answer 118. And I will refer to quite a number of verses, but for this time I thought especially let's look at 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. What does God's word exhort God's people there? Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The main verb in these two verses is the exhortation to humble ourselves before the Lord. Then attached to humbling ourselves before the Lord, as to how to do that, the text informs us, namely, by always, time and again, casting our cares upon Him. And then there's an added encouragement and promise in the verse that all who so look to the Lord in their every need may know and be most assured He cares for you. What a precious scripture. And even more precious seeing it comes from the pen of the Apostle Peter as led by the Holy Spirit. Peter, you know, Peter, who first thought he could handle so much in his life for soul and body on his own. And he didn't need the Lord for absolutely everything in his life. No, Peter could do so much himself. But he learned otherwise, didn't he? Under the ministry of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And as Peter was humbled, and as he humbled himself before the Lord, oh, how the Lord provided for this man, Peter, and cared for him, soul and body, in life and death, and we may believe, for time and eternity. Well, will you listen with me to Peter's Spirit-inspired exhortation in 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, and that in the light of Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer, 118. Our theme for the sermon is casting all your care upon the Lord. In the development of this theme, consider the following three main points. First, marveling at this exhortation, or meditating on it. Second, living by this exhortation. And three, praising God for this exhortation. For marveling and meditating on this exhortation, let's think about, for one, who it is that we are invited to cast all our cares upon. The text calls us to entrust ourselves, body and soul, over to God. And not just a God of human inventions here, a non-existent, unable to help God, no, but rather to the one only true God, the God who lives and reigns forever, and who is almighty and supreme in all his works and ways. The God, beloved, that we are called to rely on is none other than the creator of heaven and earth. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He is the God in whose hand are all things, and from whom and by whom all things consist and continue. There's nothing impossible with the Almighty Lord God, as revealed to us in the works of creation and providence, and as made known to us especially in the works of salvation in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Nothing is impossible with him, and all things are possible with him. That's what the Bible teaches us over and over again. The text says, in the context of warning not to be proud and self-reliant, instead to humble yourself, to rely humbly on this one true almighty God, the gracious, glorious God of the Bible, the God over all, of whom we heard also this morning. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's highlight, in reference to prayer now, especially the exhortation emphatically stating, casting all your care upon him. The same verb for casting is used in Luke 19:35, when the disciples cast their garments on the colt that Jesus sat on when riding into Jerusalem. Casting your cares on the Lord means throwing them off yourself and onto him, just as a horse might cast off its rider to the ground and not have to carry that rider any longer. Congregation, we are to bring and to cast off to the Lord all our cares. Or as Psalm 55:22 similarly exhorts, roll off our burdens all on his shoulders. Psalm 55:22 reads, cast your burdens, roll them off upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. No, for the Lord cares for you who cast your cares on him. And the idea of casting also has, in connection with humbling ourselves, has the idea of, you realize, you learn, I can't handle these cares. I can't handle them. I'm too small to handle them. The problem of sin, the problem of living in this world, I can't handle it. And you admit that, and you cast it all on the Lord. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? And notice the text says, all your cares. Yes, all your cares for soul and body, as the Catechism teaches. And that includes, doesn't it, countless cares, repeated cares, same old cares, ongoing cares, daily cares, never ceasing cares. How many cares we each and all can have. But the Lord here invites us, no, he commands us even, doesn't he? The almighty, gracious, all-wise God and Father in heaven, he commands us to bring our every need and care and concern to him. And not only will he always listen, but he stands ever ready to help and to supply all our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Congregation, there is endless supply and resource for our every need with God Almighty, the triune God of salvation, of whom and through whom and to whom are all things, as Paul says in Romans 11. Well, in my study and meditation and preparation for the sermon, I dwelt a while on that little three-letter word, all, in the text. Casting all your cares upon him. All means in and with any and every care we have, without any exception. All our care in life's countless needs, we may bring them all to God and cast them upon him. Notice the text doesn't say casting some of your cares or most of your cares. No, all your cares. Underline that word, all. That means, doesn't it, for every struggle and problem, spiritually, in regards to our soul, your soul, my soul, and our acceptance with God, and forgiveness of sin from God, and our everlasting righteousness before God, and care about our daily help in seeking and serving God, and in the good fight of faith, in the struggles of faith, and in relation to assurance about the promise of eternal life with God, and care about dealing with temptation and sin, especially those bosom sins, those sins we are so prone to fall into, we may bring it all to him. All your spiritual cares for you and me. Yes, to be well in soul and to thrive in our hearts and lives, all for God and good. Whatever the challenges, whatever the concerns, whatever the troubles, whatever the struggles and needs we each may have and that you are dealing with, you are to cast it to him, cast it on him, bring it to him, calling for his mercy and his help. And we shall not be put to shame, for he cares for all who humble themselves, casting all their care on him. When you check other verses in Scripture, how this is confirmed over and over. Indeed, if you want to be really encouraged and thrilled in the faith, just go through the Scripture references where the word all is used. It's so encouraging. It's so faith-building to do so by God's Spirit. Listen to Matthew 11:28, where Jesus declares and promises, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, all you, and I will give you rest." Are you heavy laden, spiritually speaking, in your soul? Cast your burdens on the Lord. And think of Isaiah 45:22, where we read God saying, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." That means no one is excluded from this offer. And think what we read in Mark 3:28, where Jesus says, "Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven, the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may deliver." All sins, Lord, my sins too. Yes, even those bad and horrific sins you are guilty of yourself, they can be forgiven, and they will be, as you cast your care on him. Hear too what Jesus says in John 6:37. "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Christ is lifted high in Scripture as the only Savior of sinners, and he is for the believers, says Paul, "they're all in all." And in him, Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can rely on him. And this is God's promise in and through Christ. Not only does he forgive all our sins, but he also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. And he will take care, the Bible teaches us, one day to wipe away every tear, all tears from our eyes, and all praise and honor and worship and devotion will one day be forever given to the Lord God by all the redeemed, without exception, in all ways, in all the newly created heavens and earth, that final and glorious day. Psalm 23:6 says, "Looking to the Lord as our shepherd, casting our care upon him, this we may know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." No matter what we go through in this life and what we have to endure, this is the resounding gospel message, congregation. What Paul also jubilantly exclaims in Romans 8:28 and 8:37. And we know, speaking of all Christians who cast all their cares upon the Lord, we know that all things, not just some, all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And regardless of trials and the troubles and the setbacks we meet with in life, as Paul also himself encountered, we may know, yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Oh, dear congregation, I knew that once I would get started in quoting some of the very many verses with that little word all in it, I would have a hard time stopping. And now think of it. All the cares of life we may and should always cast on the Lord each and every day again. And you know what? That's not just in reference to your and my concerns of our soul, but also in view of your and my body. How many cares bodily don't we each and all have in this life as well? Cares about staying healthy, cares for food and drink and housing, cares for our children that they be healthy, cares for schooling and jobs and with sleeping and raising our children and with the trials of not having children or of growing frailties when we get older and problems when we age, or recurring headaches in life, or MS, or dementia, or swelling joints, or eye problems, or loss of hearing, or balance, loss of balance, or that awful backache that doesn't go away, that back pain, or maybe possible cancer and growing tumors, or what about stress-related troubles from having to pay your monthly bills and wondering how, and having to deal with so much pressure at work with uncooperative fellow workers, and it gets you so upset, and it's not good for your body. You may bring it all to the Lord. Cast your care upon the Lord. Also, how to be protected from COVID and how to stay focused during this COVID time. How also to face terminal illness when it comes, or accidental death, or how to cope with the body in the coffin one day, which will be all our situation. Bring it to the Lord. Cast your care upon him, and he'll give hope and answer and comfort and strength in every need. Oh, with these and many other cares and questions, just in reference even to the body now, here on earth, living here and now, these cares too, congregation, we may bring to God. We may bring them all to God and cast them upon him. And again, how full the scriptures are of God's care for his people, also just for their bodily needs. Think of Jesus going about, healing many, ministering to many, providing food and drink. Also in the Old Testament, oh, God cares for us, body and soul. That's the kind of Savior God he is. And this is the gospel. This is the gospel. It's not possibly true, but it's really true for all who humble themselves before the Lord, casting time and again all their cares upon him, acknowledging, I don't deserve the least blessing as a sinner, but have mercy on me for Jesus' sake and deal bountifully with me. We read David saying in Psalm 34, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So our theme for this sermon is casting all your care upon the Lord in the way of prayer. In the development of this theme, we have looked at our first point, marveling, meditating on this exhortation. Do you marvel at it? Do you and I marvel at it in a way that we too, each one of us and all of us, we call to this blessed God, this faithful covenant-keeping God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, casting all our cares for soul and body on him. And here we come to our second main point, which is living by this exhortation. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many people are aware of this precious scripture exhortation in 1 Peter, and even admire it and appreciate it, but yet in their lives they live in self-dependence and not humbling themselves before God as fallen sinners by nature and as such weak people who are dependent on God for every breath even, as creatures of the dust on our own. How many, instead of casting cares on the Lord, carry their cares themselves? And that's how they'll live. And they're fine. And they don't need God. Don't all too many people live never calling on God in true faith and not heartily, humbly relying on the Lord in every need, but just managing their lives on their own, and all is fine and well by themselves? So they think, at least. Who needs God and his word? Who needs a church and his gospel ministry and a fellowship from fellow believers in God's ways? Who needs Christ? Who needs help when we can help ourselves just fine? Don't we know all too many people, possibly also in our own families and among our acquaintances, at work or at school or in our neighborhoods, and perhaps even in our churches, who are not living at all in convicted, conscientious, constant, humble dependency on the Lord? No, instead, all too many people, they trust in their bank accounts, or in their doctors, or in their boss, or in their family, or in the government, or in their retirement saving plans, and you name it. But what about us now here, as Christian congregation, either present here or listening online? Thinking very much too of the children and youth in church, and young adults, and yes, all of us, single or married, whether parents or grandparents, or married with no children, are we a people, are you a person, humbling yourself daily before God and casting all your care upon him, trusting he cares for you? When we are Christians, isn't this what chiefly identifies us as true believers? Namely, daily living, looking to the Lord in prayer, humbly, prayerfully relying upon him in our every need. Not in a way that we negate our human responsibilities in life, but in a way that recognizes truly and increasingly, accept the Lord time and again, bless us and help us and uphold us and supply us. Our lives in body and soul are in vain. And then we live and die in sin only to perish forever under God's just condemnation and righteous wrath in the end. Isn't it so, congregation, when it's well with us in soul and body, before God and each other, then also in every need in soul and body, we truly and time and again call on the Lord and we cast all our cares upon him? We are prayers when we are believers. That's how God teaches us. That we are wholly dependent on him. Well, is that what you are doing? Yes, with that sickness of yours, whether younger or older, or that trial, that affliction, or with that temptation that you face that doesn't just go away so quickly, whether younger or older, or that difficult trial that you have, or that ache in your body, or that trouble, struggle in your soul that you suffer time and again, that doubt, that struggle. When we are living by what Peter exhorts in our text and what Heidelberg Catechism question and answer 118 teaches us, oh, then we are living in faith, casting our cares always, repeatedly upon the Lord and learning to wait on Him for His care. Yes, learning to wait on Him also for His answers to our prayers as we ask for His help in our needs. Is that what you and I are doing? Did you notice in this regard how the text also mentions in 1 Peter 5, verse 6, about the Lord exalting His people or coming to their rescue and help, and time and again, in due time. You see that phrase, in due time? That means in His time, as the Lord knows and thinks best for us. Isn't it a mark of being a true Christian and of being true Christians, learning for a first time and for all time to wait on the Lord, humbly to wait on Him, trusting He knows best in all His responses, also to our prayers and about our cares, and we can entrust all matters to Him, leaving also the timing of His answers and the way of His answers to Him, believing again He cares for us. The Bible gives many examples of God's people waiting sometimes even for years before the Lord came with His hand of help and deliverance in time of need. Many of the stories in the Bible telling about this also include the warning of how foolish when you and I won't wait for the Lord and His due time to exalt us. But instead, we come to our own help and we run ahead of Him and we try to solve and resolve our own issues more our way than waiting on Him and His way. Think of Abraham and Sarah here with arranging Hagar as the one through whom Abram and Sarah might have a child. Instead of waiting patiently on the Lord. How much trouble hasn't that brought in the world when they were impatient? Think of Jacob and Rebekah, likewise scheming to fulfill God's promises of help and honor in their own way rather than trusting God to accomplish His promises and plans of help and blessing in His time and His way. How much Jacob and Rebekah and the whole family suffered when they tried to do it their way instead of waiting on God. Can't we mention Peter here too? Peter, how often, believing he could speed up the Lord's help for him, and at different times acting spontaneously and foolishly in self-trust rather than acting faithfully and fruitfully in humble trust in God as his only Savior and help. Oh, congregation, let this sermon now be another earnest, loving, divine call from the Lord daily and truly to humble ourselves before the Lord, casting all our cares upon Him and trusting He cares for us and He will exalt us in due time. Don't we have sure basis to say God cares for His people like us in all our needs? I mean, can't we know that just from God's care shown in His work as Creator God? What a beautiful, bountiful world God created for mankind, you and me, to live in all the days of our life. And that for generation after generation, from Adam and Eve to the end of the world, this world God has created is so full of resources to care for all mankind to the last day. Plus, think of God's providence, whereby, as stated in question and answer 27 of the Heidelberg Catechism, about God's providence, whereby, as it were, by His hand, He upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand. And then on top of that, above all else, what about God as revealed in Christ Jesus, giving Himself, sinners like us, to save? Yes, even to the point of death, even to death on the cross. Jesus suffered as sin bearer, as substitute, all the wrath of God that His people deserve. And He obtained by His righteous life and His perfect once for all sacrifice all the obedience God requires from us so that in and through him, all the promises of God are always guaranteed. Yea and amen, in and through Christ Jesus, for all who trust in him and are always casting their cares on him. Again, I quote from Romans 8, that verse 32, which I quote more often, the beautiful verse where we are told, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely, also freely give us all things? Well, isn't this what especially and repeatedly, isn't this what helps believers? Thinking of Christ here being such an all-sufficient Savior who is altogether lovely as bridegroom for his bride. Isn't this what helps believers come to God, yes, in all their needs, even when feeling and when knowing that they are so undeserving of ourselves as we are because of our remaining sins and sinfulness, yet so to appeal to the Lord and to ask for his help. Yes, for Jesus' sake. Why should he help us when we all too often live unthankfully and all too often go astray again into this sin or that sin? Well, God's people come. They come again to the fountain of life, the fountain for sin and uncleanness, always again calling on Jesus for his name's sake, because he delights in mercy and he has opened the way to always be the helper of those who cast their cares on him. We can say ultimately, Christ always, ultimately, and abundantly fills our every need as we go to him. And he does so always for his own name's sake. Well, is that your testimony and your confession of faith too? When it is so, doesn't it give so much comfort and peace and hope and help, even under the most difficult of times? And the greatest needs that we can meet with in life, in soul and body. This past week, I met with someone who just a couple weeks ago had very serious open heart surgery here in Calgary. And before the operation, he was when it was about to start, the doctor asked this person, "How are you doing?" And he could respond, he told me, saying, "Doctor, I have peace in my heart, looking to the Lord and entrusting all to him." And this person knew, you see, by God's grace, whether he lived through the operation or not, he was reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. And if spared and able to make it through the operation, he would praise God, surely, certainly, with his loved ones still here on earth. And if not spared, he would praise the Lord forever with all the redeemed in glory. This was his mindset, his heart before God, by God's grace. And when this Christian brother, who was from Monarch FRC, when he told me this, then all of a sudden, he broke out into sobbing and tears. And do you know why? Because as he told me, while I was pastor being operated on, my older brother in the Maritimes, he passed away and he died unconverted and hardened against God and his word and his church and his kingdom and gospel. He was raised by the same mother as who told me constantly, "Son, you need the Lord." But he rejected the Lord. And it broke this man's heart that while his own heart was fixed spiritually and physically now too, yet his older brother's life ended as a rebel against God and forever estranged from God because he just refused to cast all his cares on the Lord. Oh, if any of you are still here or online, unconverted still and living in hardness of heart against the Lord, won't you be awakened and turn to the Lord while it's yet the season of grace? There's no hope for you if you won't call on the Lord for mercy and help. Now you may say, "That's just an opinion, Pastor." And it reminds me of what I heard this week about Babe Ruth. Babe Ruth was an old professional baseball player, World Series type baseball player. And in one game, he was at plate, and there was a pitch, And the umpire said, strike. And Babe Ruth stood up and said, umpire, that wasn't a strike. It was a ball off the plate on the side. And I'm not just saying that. All the people in the stands are saying that. Don't you hear them shouting? That's not a strike. And the umpire replied, you may say what you like, and all the people in the stand, but it's my judgment that counts. I'm the umpire. And he was right. Now, an umpire in baseball or any sport can make a mistake. But the umpire, Christ Jesus, never makes a mistake in judgment. And his rule of thumb is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast all your care upon him, and you shall be saved. Reject him and turn away from him and carry your cares on yourself, and you'll be damned and lost forever. It's not a matter of your opinion. It's what God says. It's what the umpire says that counts. And that's a very good analogy, isn't it? And are we taking it seriously? And when we do, and when we cast all our care upon the Lord, isn't it true? Oh, we become burdened like this monarch brother, even for his brother who passed away. Lord, Lord, don't let people die rejecting you. Isn't this what all God's redeemed people long for? Yes, that more would come to trust and follow the Lord and live and die as those casting all their care upon the Lord, trusting he cares for us in and through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Well, this brings me also, just briefly yet, on our third thought about praising God for this exhortation. How good when this is what our lives consist of, don't you agree? That is, not only casting our care upon the Lord, all our care, trusting him in all our cares, soul and body, but then also exalting and praising this God for so great and gracious, all-sufficient God in our every need. God's people don't only sing then, praise God from whom all blessings flow, but then we also seek to reflect this gospel truth, to make known this gospel truth in word and deed, in our personal lives, and in our family life, and in our church life, and in our society life, to those around us. Yes, in our prayer life too, and in our work life, and in our school life, and in all our priorities in life. How wonderful and right when, as confessing believers, beloved, you and I so pray and work to live to the praise and glory of God, relating to others. Yes, life here and now can be difficult, but you don't need to carry it, all the burdens of life. No, there's a Savior God. He's great and gracious. We may relate that to others. What troublesome times we are presently living in right now with this pandemic and all the impact and effect of that, and how many people are really panicking about it. But we need not panic, nor despair, or lose hope. No, for when you and I may trust in God, in Christ, we can time and again cast all our cares upon the Lord, cares of body and soul, all our cares, even the whole life through. And we can trust and experience the Lord will never fail any who cast their cares upon him, for he cares for us. And in the end, all will be well with us, soul and body. Yes, our body too, even when it's worm-eaten and dust in the grave. The Lord is going to raise it up. Beautiful body, like unto Jesus' beautiful body. That's his promise. I believe it with all my heart. You do too, don't you? And all, always, because of Jesus the Savior being such a perfect Savior, altogether lovely as bridegroom for his church, who cares for every need of his bride. Well, congregation, this sermon is given to urge and encourage and bless us in bringing all things necessary for soul and body to the Lord, and so to teach us to pray and to praise the Lord, and to God be all the glory when it's so. The Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and all his followers gives us a model, really, of what it means to cast all our care upon the Lord. And we will be looking at that in the weeks ahead. And I thought to myself, what better way to close this year, this troublesome year, 2020, with its overwhelming needs and cares, thinking much about prayer to God, and casting all our cares on him. Let me end, therefore, with quoting this verse one more time. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Even so, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray without ceasing, casting all our cares on the Lord. Amen.